A miraculous event is taking place today. It's a family reunion of the most extraordinary kind. Maybe you were able to catch a glimpse in the news about this peculiar reunion that's taking place. It's strange not just because of its size. There's going to be about 1,000 people attending this reunion, which began last Friday and finishes today. It's not just strange because it's happening in a very small, out-of-the-way town in the middle of Kentucky. It is peculiar because it involves not just one family, but two families. Maybe you've heard of the names of these families before. One family's name is Hatfield. The other family's name is McCoy. That's right, this weekend, starting last Friday and finishing today, is what many are calling the reunion of the millennium. It's the first time since their fabled feuds in the 19th century that the families of the Hatfields and the McCoys are gathering together, not to resume their famous feud, but to celebrate and to commemorate. It started on Friday with a bunch of festivities, including crafts and games and rides for the little kids. Yesterday they had, what do you expect, a Hatfield versus McCoy softball game and a Hatfield versus McCoy tug of war. But in just a few short moments today, all 1,000 of those Hatfields and McCoys that have gathered from all around the world as far away as Korea will gather together on a bridge called the Matawan-Buskirk Bridge in Kentucky. And there they will have a memorial service led by Reverend Terry Hatfield and Reverend Beau McCoy to commemorate and remember all those many lives that were lost from the famous feuds that plagued their families for such a long time. How in the world, you might be wondering, how in the world is it possible that two families that hated each other so much, so vindictive and so spiteful over the years, could possibly come together in this very special moment and have a time of reparation and forgiveness and commemoration? The answer, I believe, is found in the words of Reverend Beau McCoy, who said that the families bring this day a spirit of hope, not a spirit of vengeance, and that together they will look to the future and not dwell on the past. You know what the slogan for this reunion is this weekend? The slogan is a new history for an old legend. Miracles take place when people decide to look to the future and not dwell on the pains of the past. Today is another reunion of sorts. It's another day of celebration and remembrance. Another day when we can look at the past and see a remarkable event that took place. A reunion of sorts. There was one day in Jerusalem when they had a family reunion of sorts. It was the Jewish Festival of Weeks, a festival that takes place every year 50 days after the Feast of Passover. And so in Jerusalem on this day were Druze coming in together from all over the world. There were Jews that were living in Jerusalem, but there were Jews who were living in modern-day Iraq that came to this festival, modern-day Turkey and Greece and Egypt and Libya, all over the entire known Roman world. All of them Jews, if not by blood, but by spiritual heritage. And they were coming together for a reunion. Can you imagine what this must have been like? There were people who were there in Jerusalem who were true Jews, blood Jews, descendants of David and the tribes of Israel. But walking in the streets next to them were people who weren't Jews in blood but had converted to Judaism. People who were descendants of their great ancestors, of the Babylonians, and of the hated Persians, and of the mean Egyptians who held the Jews in slavery. Could you imagine what it would have been like to be there in that moment, knowing that right next to the descendants of David were the descendants of the Babylonians and the Egyptians and the Persians and all of the hated enemies of the Israelites. The Feast of Weeks brought everyone together, regardless of their national heritage, for a moment of spiritual celebration, because they came together as Jews to celebrate the God of Israel, who reached across all national boundaries for this very special festival. And it is a timely thing, I believe, that God chose this reunion long ago to create something new. The events in Acts chapter 2 say exactly what happened when God punctured the earth in an explosive way and a series of events that were remarkable for the time. There was first the sound of a rushing and violent wind. And then all of a sudden the people that were gathered together looked around and saw little tongues of flame descending upon their shoulders. And then the most incredible thing of all, people started talking in different languages. Not just different languages, but people started speaking in the language of their ancestors. Could you imagine? There were the Judeans there speaking their native Hebrew. There was the Parthians who spoke their native Persian, the language of the empire. The Mesopotamians spoke their ancestral Babylonian, and the Egyptians, of course, spoke their native Egyptian. The words of their ancestors started to crisscross through the air. And you got to believe that if the Hatfields were there, they would have spoken their native Hatfield. And if the McCoys were there, they would have spoken their native McCoy. And if the Jews were there hearing the words of their ancestral enemies, you've got to believe that people must have expected World War III to take place. You might have thought, oh great, I bet they're going to start feuding again. I bet the Egyptians are going to fight against the Jews. I bet the Persians are going to fight against the Babylonians. I bet the warring families will resume their feud again. Spiritual brother against spiritual brother. But this is where the story is its most interesting. Because on this day, Pentecost Day, there was a new history to be made from an old legend. Because on this day, God created the church. A church that was formed from people from all walks of life, from all nations, regardless of the boundaries that separated them before. A time when ancestors who had fought for years now came together to form something new in all of their diversity to create one church, born of one spirit, to bear one faith. You see, when the church was born, God never intended it to be a church that would splinter and disintegrate into warring factions and warring families. In fact, God brought together people who are very different and hated enemies to form the most miraculous coalition of people ever assembled. The church was born from people all over the world. It's been said that Pentecost is the reverse of the story of the Tower of Babel. I believe so. Because you know the story of the Tower of Babel. How people who were all similar, speaking in language, and all came from the same ancestral tree, got together and decided to build a tower for themselves to prove that they could reach God. In fact, to prove that they were God. And you know how the Tower of Babel story ended? God took those similar people and made them all different. But in Pentecost, God took those different people and made them all similar. A reverse of the Tower of Babel story, and it begs the question for us today. Are we a Tower of Babel church, or are we a church of the Pentecost? Are we a church that is splintering over differences and dividing itself into battles and warring over different issues, or are we bold enough to be led by the Spirit once again? Are we like the 19th century Hatfields and McCoys, bickering and fighting? Or are we like the 2000 version of the Hatfields and McCoys, hoping to forge a new history for an old legend? These are questions for the church today. And on this day when I say goodbye to you, Bethel family, I pray for you two things. The first is diversity, and the second is unity. First, I pray diversity for you, because I know that you can best be the church that God wants you to be when you celebrate your differences. To know that each and every one of you are very different and bring to God's house a unique gift and a unique contribution to make this church as vital and as exciting as God created it to be. A year ago, we did a spiritual gifts inventory, and I hope that many of you remember what it is that your spiritual gift might be. And know that this church should never come to a point where it emphasizes one gift or another, or emphasizes one person or one group of people over everybody else. Because if it does, then we will disintegrate and fall apart, just like the Tower of Babel. Some of you have a gift that is untapped. Some of you have a new ministry waiting to be born inside yourself. There is a big part of me that wishes that I could just follow you every single day for the next year to know that God is going to do something new in this church because of what you choose to do with your gifts and your ministries. As we heard at annual conference, I say it to you. Claim your ministry. Each one of you, claim the ministry and the unique ways that God has called you. But just like we need to celebrate our diversity, let us never forget how united we must be. Nothing would displease God more than for God to see the church splinter off into warring factions and brutal disputes. It's not the way that God designed it. It's not the way that God intended it. I have felt very blessed over the past 2 years by you all, because I have known every single Sunday that I have come up here to worship with you that there is no family fighting against another family, that there are no disputes, there are no unmentioned tensions, that there is no bitterness and no strife in this church. Every Sunday for me has been one full of joy because you, Bethel Church, have been united together in one common mind, in one common purpose. And in my opinion, the greatest gift that you could give to me as I leave today is for you to pledge that you will give Reverend Laura Fisher that same support, that same united optimism, that same joy, that same support of her and each other that I felt every single Sunday for the past 2 years. May it be no less than what you gave to Jessica and I. And there is one final reminder on this day. Let us remember that there is only one head of the church. The head of the church is not found in a single pastor, or in a single connectional system, or in one denomination. There is only one head of the church, and that is Jesus Christ. And so if in the future this church ever finds itself in a quandary as to how to be the church, or what its mission or purpose should be, or how to resolve disputes, may we all, look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and to the Spirit who created this church. My final prayer for you is that you will love Jesus more. And as you all head to the cross together, you will better be the church. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all. Amen.